Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. We will be joined in a couple of minutes by Matt Hegarty from the Daily Racing Forum. He covered yesterday's announcement that the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act, HISA, was ruled unconstitutional. And wanted to have him in just to kind of explain what that all may mean going forward, because the racing industry has already started to implement some of the rules and regulations. More were coming into the pipeline over the next few months, and so we'll see, get some ideas of how this may play out in the racing industry. So again, we'll have that in a few minutes. Top of the show, just wanted to once again, we did it at the top of the handicappers report for anybody that wasn't tuned in, and of course I mentioned it yesterday, but going back a couple of days ago, our friend and a frequent visitor with us here over the years, Dave Litvin, passed away. And there's the picture I took of Dave going back to 2012, right there in the press box on the last day of the meet in 2012 up at Saratoga. Dave got the crown as the top handicapper, the top public handicapper back in 2012. And I said, hey, Dave, let me get a picture to put on the webpage where I put the scorecard. And gonna miss Dave. I sat behind him there in the press box for years. He was a longtime New York correspondent for the Racing Forum, New York correspondent, handicapper. Wrote a couple of books, expert handicapping, real life handicapping. Wrote some handicapping columns subsequent to his time at the Racing Forum. Most recently, he was down at Gulfstream as a chart caller for Equibase. He had a handicapping column over in the Blood Horse. So really sad news earlier this week, taken much too soon. Dave Litvin passed away. Our condolences to his wife, Robin, and the entire family. Going to miss Dave, as I say. Great guy. And if you looked on Twitter, Dave Granig tweeted out the announcement a couple of days ago that he had passed away. And subsequently, there was a big following comment line of folks who just either knew him or colleagues, friends, or just had experienced his work and kind of tipped their cap to Dave. So again, we will certainly miss Dave, and as I say, taken much, much too soon. So Dave Litvin passing away just a couple of days ago. All right. I had a couple. I also wanted to mention, we talked a little bit about it on the handicapping show as well, but Trevor McCarthy out indefinitely with a broken collarbone. There was a spill yesterday, if you were watching the races, the sixth at Aqueduct, his horse went down. Subsequently, I believe the horse got up and was okay. But McCarthy was taken to the hospital, has a collarbone. According to the article that came out later yesterday from Dave Grenig, Joey Migliori, who's the agent for Trevor McCarthy, confirmed the injury and said McCarthy was awaiting scans of his back to see if there was any other issue. So we certainly wish the best for Trevor McCarthy. Nice guy, good jock. He's making a little bit of noise in New York. Fun to see. And again, we hope the best for him, that things, you know, work out, speedy recovery and whatnot. Scary situation, but that's the update down there. All right. We will take a break, and as promised, we will reach out to our friend Matt Hegarty from the Daily Racing Forum, get a little update on the HISA situation from Matt. So all of that coming up next as Racing Across America continues. Stay tuned.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
We'll be right back. No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined by our friend Matt Haggerty from the Daily Racing Forum, the hard news business side of the game guy to reach out to when there is some of these kind of news stories. And I thought with the Heise story yesterday, nobody better to talk to you than Matt. Matt, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, Seth.
And just so we know, alert people where you are.
As far as geographically, I am in Lexington, Kentucky, preparing for a tailgate against a foe we have no chance against. So that's why we have to make sure the tailgate goes well.
Hey, I'm a Syracuse fan, and we were beaten by basketball, but we were beaten by Colgate the other night. So that's I can
parody. Just call it parody and go back to your life. So.
All right, let's get into it. Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority, the Horse Racing Integrity Safety Act, yesterday declared unconstitutional. We have had you on the show before, and we had Lisa Lazarus on with us this summer, and we talked about the act and the authority itself. The industry has already started to implement some of the rules and regulations. So before we get into what may be down the line, just fill us in on what happened yesterday and what that could mean for HISA.
Yeah, so yesterday the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeal, which was hearing an appeal of a lawsuit that was filed initially by the National Horsemen's Benevolent and Protective Association, was hearing the appeal of their case, which actually got dismissed in a court in Texas. They ended up reversing the Texas court's ruling and saying that HISA, in contradiction to federal principles in the Constitution, was not subordinate to the Federal Trade Commission as the legislation was intended, and that instead that the Federal Trade Commission was subordinate to HISA. Now, HISA was set up as a nonprofit company, a private company, and so there are constitutional principles in play on this thing. The people that had written the legislation forming HISA had thought that they had vetted it. They had set up a structure similar to that of a financial industry relations private company called FINRA, and that it would pass constitutional muster. And in fact, the two lower courts where we have seen constitutional challenges, one, the district court in Texas and the district court in Kentucky, both agreed with supporters of that act. And so while it's not shocking, I would say it was a surprise to see a ruling in the Fifth Circuit that did contradict both of the lower court rulings.
And the unconstitutionality, I messed that word, but related to HISA and how it relates to the government organization, the FTC, just relate to that a little bit and how they looked at that through the lawsuit.
Yeah, so under the legislation, HISA, excuse me, I'm still battling a little bit of a cold. So it was set up so that HISA would draft its rules. Those rules would then be submitted for public comment. HISA would take into account the public comment, redraft the rules, and submit them, in the language, up to the FTC. The FTC would then have final approval of those rules and would have overriding authority over the enforcement or interpretation of those. So, while on the face of it, it does look like there is this top-down structure, the Fifth Circuit was saying that in reality, it's actually a bottom-down structure, and that HISA is exercising all of the authority in the relationship. As I said, two lower courts looked at it and saw a different structure, that HISA was, in fact, submitting these up to the FTC for final approval. So I'm sure there's going to be arguments both from representatives of HISA and also representatives of the Justice Department that the Fifth Circuit is misinterpreting this relationship, because when you do look at it in the actual legislation, it does look as if it's the same structure as FINRA, which has survived those challenges. At the same time, you have a lot of courts now that are looking askance at exercises of the federal power, and especially the federal power granting regulatory rights to private companies. So kind of the ground underneath HISA has shifted since the time that an organization like FINRA, which it was modeled on, was formed.
And according to your article, there's a separate lawsuit that's going to be heard on December 7th. How does that play into things?
Yeah, this is really the interesting wrinkle to it, right? So the exact same argument going to be heard in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. This is based on a lawsuit that was initially filed by a bunch of different state racing commissions and states. The lower court in that case was a district court in Kentucky who actually dismissed the lawsuit, said there wasn't any grounds for it. So if the Sixth Circuit should come back and rule to uphold the Kentucky court, then you're going to have two court of appeals, federal court of appeals, with differing opinions. So if that happens, then I'm sure that this is going to be, as they say in lawyer speak, ripe for review. And it's really hard to forecast exactly what happen in the future.
Well, let's talk about what at this point happens in the future, because again, HISA went into effect earlier this year, and lots of the rules and regulations tracks are already dealing with, you know, the WIP rules and whatnot. We've seen those have been adjudicated via the HISA rules. So now with this ruling yesterday that HISA is unconstitutional, what happens now? Where does the racing industry, do the racing industry and HISA stand at this point?
I think it's in a state of limbo. The ruling does not go into effect until the Fifth Circuit issues its mandate. So it's been, that won't happen until January 10th. So as of right now, everything that's in place remains in place until that mandate is issued. Obviously, HISA and most likely the Justice Department are going to be seeking a stay of that Fifth Circuit ruling until their appeal can be heard. But that's absolutely not certain that the court will grant that. And in fact, you know, they've got a couple long shots here in which they ask the full Fifth Circuit to review the ruling of a three-panel judge within the Fifth Circuit, or they take it to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, as you know, hears very, very few cases, although there are people in the race industry, legal experts, who believe the issue in principle here are ripe for review, and the Supreme Court may, in fact, be interested in this just because of its the principle involved.
Let me put it this way: what's kind of worst case scenario, and what's best case scenario?
Well, it depends on what side you're on, obviously. The worst-case scenario for HISA is that the mandate is issued without a stay, at which point they will be in limbo until there is a final adjudication of the case. There could be some long shots. Does HISA and the racing industry and supporters of HISA have to file to go back to the legislature and clarify the principles that are at stake? I doubt it right now. This is it's a lame duck session at this point. But if that stay were not issued or there were competing claims, such as the Sixth Circuit, then HISA would just have to stall all of its programs. You would go back to the state-by-state jurisdictional regulation that we have right now, at least in cases of medication and anti-doping control. And the safety rules would be rescinded. They would no longer be enforced. Does that look like chaos to the racing fan? Probably not. The most public aspect of the enforcement of the safety rules has obviously been the whip rule, but you know, I don't know if you just sit in a grandstand and listen to people, no one talks about whip use. So it would be chaos for people like me and the racing industry as a whole, but I don't think the public would notice much. The best case scenario from Heise's standpoint is they get a Sixth Circuit ruling that is contradictory to the Fifth Circuit, which at least gives them a legal leg to stand on, especially when seeking a stay. And they get a favorable ruling upon appeal. So those are basically the two scenarios. I don't know what a worst case or best case is, to be honest.
No, I hear you. Very intriguing when this came out yesterday, because as I say, they're already underway and the industry's already under some of the rules and regulations. More of them are going to roll out in the future. So it looks like maybe the next shoe to drop then is that December 7th hearing in the Sixth Circuit.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, you do have the same holiday coming up. So, you know, not a whole lot is going to get done next week. But yeah, I'm guessing that Heise is crossing its fingers that it does get a favorable ruling there. And then it's just going to be, you know, a day by day wait to see what exactly the outcome of this is. You know, I will say that no matter what you think of Heise, no matter what you think about whether it would result in better regulation of the racing industry, I think we have a huge optics problem right now.
Yeah.
You know, racing is like every other sport. You're just waiting for the next scandal, right? If there is a, you know, when the next scandal comes, and if Heise is no longer around, and there isn't a solution for a nationwide regulatory system, racing's critics are going to pounce. And you are going to have the backdrop of horsemen's organizations. Like I said, no matter what your opinion is of Heise, whether it be effective or not, that said, we don't want modern regulations, and we like it the way it is, despite the fact that no modern regulatory apparatus looks like this, with state-by-state regulations governing a national industry.
Yeah, it is going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. Again, with this already underway and this decision the other day, so we'll see what comes up on December 7th and kind of go from there, certainly. Matt, before I let you go, there were a couple other articles you wrote recently I wanted to touch on, and one goes back to Thursday. There was a meeting here in New York amongst a coalition of racing interest under the umbrella known as We Are New York Racing. They had a meeting in Albany on Thursday, and it looks like their effort now is to push for a bond issue to kind of change Belmont to a new Belmont facility. Talk a little bit about the meeting the other day.
Yeah, this was more of a launching point for their legislative priorities. This coalition was, in fact, founded last year when NYRA made a very aggressive public pitch for the state-backed bonds. NYRA does say that, look, it's not going to cost anybody anything. All we need is this issue the bond so that we can take advantage of the low interest rates that come with that. We'll pay back all the interest principal off the money we're getting from the casino gambling revenues that they're entitled to by law. So, you know, NYRA is saying, look, this is a win-win for everybody. I think anything is far down the line, even if they get approval for those state-backed bonds. It's going to take a long time to go through all the different plans for what Belmont Park will become. Obviously, racing will then be shifted to Aqueduct, probably for several years. So, you know, NYRA does, this is important to the statewide circuit. They'd rather consolidate the operations at Belmont, make that a year-round training and racing facility, downsize it, or as they say, right-size it, and give more modern amenities. As you know, Belmont Park was built a long, long time ago. It was last renovated in 1968. There's not a whole lot of charm in an open-air grandstand in winter. We'll just have to see what happens, whether or not the legislature has any interest in this plan. Now, it did get a little support last year, but the taxpayer financing of Buffalo made the time terrible, even though there wasn't going to be any taxpayer financing of the Belmont renovations.
And I see you referred to that in the article, just what you said a minute ago, and I kind of like it, maybe from a PR standpoint, right-sizing. I like that.
Yeah, right size, yeah. You live in New York. I used to live there. Sorry, my voice is getting out. And Belmont is not a great winter or cold weather facility. All racetracks should start thinking about what they need to do to cater to the high-dollar customer in the same way that Churchill Downs has really leveraged its access to capital to make the Derby and Oaks Day something where you can attract people at every price point, every level of service and amenity.
Yeah, and we've seen it up at Saratoga with the 1863 in the top of the stretch and whatnot. Sure. I think they've done a nice job. Yeah, nice job up there. I'll let you go. I just want one more quick thing. You say your voice is giving out, so I don't want it to keep you too much longer. But you also mentioned the Gulfstream Park situation just a week ago with the Cornella, and I'll quickly explain that. It looks like somebody came in, played a huge Cornella bet on a no-hope Cornella, and then went to an offshore option where they don't put the money in the pools and played the two favorites in the Cornella. And because there was so much money in the actual pool, the favorite Cornella paid an exorbitant amount of money compared to what it would normally pay. And so supposedly they made a lot of money on the offshore. And you wrote a little bit about the situation. It attracted some attention on social media. I was just a little bit shocked at kind of what seemed to me a knee-jerk reaction of Gulfstream said, yeah, we recognize what happened. No more Cornellas.
Yeah, well, the problem isn't the Cornella pool, right? It's the fact that there's no liquidity in it. So you have to target, and let's make it clear. There's nothing illegal about what happened here, unless the people, you know, that were betting in offshore places broke some laws about money transfers or something like that. Everybody's free to do whatever they want in a parimutuel pool. You brought up the idea of this payoff. If I haven't looked at a Cornella pool since I stopped betting on dogs maybe 20 years ago, but that Cornella should have paid $8. It paid $42.40. So you kind of look at it at from one angle and say, well, who cares, right? People got paid off way better. The problem is, if this option is open for people, how far of a step is it to say, you know what, let's make sure that this long shot doesn't come in and bribe the jockey or bribe the trainer to make sure that that horse doesn't come in 1-2, right? So there is a very big integrity problem when someone goes into a pool to manipulate it like this, despite the fact that when you look at it, people who were playing in the parimutuel pools legitimately didn't get hurt. The problem is there is that is a situation that is ripe for corruption when someone can go into a pool and do something like that.
Yeah, and that's kind of what my question, and you've answered there a little bit, and that's kind of what I talked about. We talked about on the earlier show this morning. To me, nobody was hurt, and so what was it? But there's the potential there, I suppose, and so it's kind of interesting. And I also kind of agree with you. Since they put in the dollar wager, hey, why Quinella? You do the dollar exact a box and you're in the same boat. So I haven't gotten the Quinella. I haven't played a Quinella in years, and probably like you, probably since the last time I was at the dog track. But it was an interesting story from a week ago. Matt, we'll let you get back to the tailgate. Have a great time. Go Kentucky. Go Wildcats. And, hey, upsets are always possible. But, Matt, always appreciate the conversation. We'll talk again.
Yeah, there's a saying in the bluegrass, cats by 90, so I'll stick with it. All right. Talk to you later, Seth.
Take it easy. Matt Haggerty from the Daily Racing Forum. Appreciate the conversation. The Heise thing is going to be really intriguing to see how that plays out over the next, well, again, December 7th, we'll get that next lawsuit. And then going forward from there, that's going to be very, very intriguing. All right, I'm going to wrap it up because I'm looking at my monitor on the wall, and it looks like they're getting ready to kick off the pregame show down in New York. And so that's why we're doing a little abbreviated. The 11:50 post time at Aqueduct today moves everything a little bit earlier. So we'll step out. I will not be in this afternoon for OTB Live. Why? It's a fan appreciation day at the Uncle Sam Lane's Easy Bet in Troy. Shannon Donovan from the marketing department and I have, over the past couple of months, made trips out to Cleats, out towards Utica, and up in Queensbury Branch, Columbia Turnpike. We've gotten a good turnout at all the locations. It's been a lot of fun. Run a contest during the afternoon so you can win a little extra betting money. The contests have been fun, too. They've come down to the wire. So if you come over, you can play the contest. We usually have some free food, past performances. Everybody gets a $2 voucher if you come in. So it'll be a lot of fun this afternoon. Uncle Sam Lane's in Troy. Join us this afternoon. We'll have a lot of fun down there. Otherwise, I'm going to wrap it up because, again, they're about to kick off the pregame show in New York, so we'll get you down to Andy and Anthony to take a look at that card down at the Big A today. We have some Churchill coming up. Again, Fairgrounds got underway yesterday, so they're in the mix. Del Mar got underway for their fall meet last week, so a lot of great racing coming up on this Saturday afternoon. I'll be back in tomorrow for Racing Across America at 10 a.m. So I look forward to that. I look forward to seeing some folks down at the Uncle Sam Lanes this afternoon. Should be fun. Otherwise, if you're going to be home watching the network, enjoy, make some money. If you'd like to come here at the Clubhouse Racebook, we'd love to have you down here as well, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. But we will see you tomorrow morning for Racing Across America here on the network at 10 a.m. See you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.